Hi, I'm Darren Rosebrook with AMCI. I'm actually here on behalf of ODH today. Couldn't make it because of certain budget constraints that kept him from coming. So he asked me to go ahead and present the solution that we put on the ground there to manage their IIS system and their EHR integration. So we'll go ahead and get started. Maybe. There we go. The territory breakdown, I went too far. There we go. This gives us an overall look of what Ohio looks like. They're a voluntary state when it comes to the impact assess. They have 88 counties with a total targeted practices of near 6,000 practices. And currently we have 4,969 practices that we're currently working with. So that's the total practices using, and the total population pool of the patients is about 10.5. Where the total immunization history is about 46 and a little bit above that. Now, the territory breakdown, I'm going to provide you that because it gives us a look at how constrained we are with staffing. So we have 781 practices in Region 1, and only one representative supports that area. And then we have the 1,466 practices in the Region 2, and then you can see the numbers as we go through that they add up quite quickly, and that's a pretty large population for only six people to support. So what we do is we did is we put on the ground a pretty comprehensive solution. And what we did is integrated the CMS system, which is the contact management system, with the ImpactSys. And we created a community resource center and the training management center. Those are user population web services that they can use to talk to the staff internally through the CMS. And then there's a workload manager, which basically helps them through their daily and weekly routine, the ImpactSys team. And then we're going to talk about a little bit the immunization data exchange, which is an automated system that Ohio has on the ground right now. It tracks all the EHRs that want to be certified by version and then clumps together the medical networks and the standalone doctors as well to see who's certified to go ahead and exchange data with the ImpactSys. And then the last thing we're going to look at is the oversight dashboard, which gives the pulse of not only the entire state, but it can be drilled down to the region, the county, and then at the practice level. So the first thing we're going to look at is CMS. And my wife swears I can't get through all this content in 15 minutes, so I'm going to try. This is the primary CRM for the ImpactSys team, and that's contact relationship management. And the ImpactSys team records all interactions with the user population and potential user population and with advocacy groups, coalitions, and the EHR vendors in this system. It handles staff time and travel management for time and activity accounting. Manages the ImpactSys registration and security as a central repository, and it handles real-time reporting for the ImpactSys team status on a weekly basis and a pay period basis, time and activity accounting, and funding source reporting. And then we have broadcast communications that go directly out of CMS, pulling the emails and such to broadcast, different information as we need to show maintenance updates and things like that. And then we have the meaningful use of adoption, which is a very hot topic right now with the certification and integration and tracking. And this all ties back to what I showed you on the earlier screen. The first thing we're looking at here is the representative dashboard. And this is what they see when they log in. This is everything that's coming in as far as enrollment requests, which come in from the CRC, which is the Community Resource Center, training requests that also come through that same system. And so that's these here, so you can see it better. And so those are user-initiated events to communicate with your ImpactSys representative, and those are automatically routed to the correct representative on their dashboard. And then the representative can set follow-up reminders for themselves, or the call center can do that if they need to follow up on a support issue. And then we have the EMR follow-ups because we actually deal with them the same way we do with providers, as tracking every interaction with them. And then we have the new ImpactSys IDE request is when somebody registers with the immunization data exchange site to start trying to become certified with ImpactSys to be able to exchange data. So going, I skipped one here, and I did that for a reason. Oh. Yep, I did it for a reason. And this is the staff and management, and it's the workload manager that tracks everything for the daily routine of what's going on. And the staff can assign themselves tasks, and then they'll record this in the workload manager, and the management can assign tasks to multiple people, or they can assign it to just one person. And what we do is we deal with these just like we do with the contact management, is that we create a work log for each work item in their list, and what they add the work log for each one, and they can add the time they spent, what they did during that time, the day, and the percentage of completion. So it's kind of like a project management tool. And as this adds up, what this leads to is the R&T activity and work items are captured in CMS, and they combine to create the time and activity sheet on a pay period reporting basis. And then the ISR report, which is the individual status report, is generated based on the information that's in this report combined with all the activities that were recorded for that time frame. And that creates an individual status report that gives us the achievements for that week or that time frame, along with what they've scheduled for the next go-around. And one of the things that we do focus on is the Medicaid, non-Medicaid. Medicaid is a big funding provider for the state of Ohio when it comes to the registry. So we have to report data back. And that information then goes into the annual report that's automatically generated, or the quarterly report. And what that takes us to now is we're going to start looking inside of ImpactSys. And this is at the county level. It's all broken into counties. And we're going to focus on Franklin County because that's where the capital is. And it's also one of my territories. So when we first log in or into Franklin County, we can see the providers by a list, right? But we have other options. But the list tells us a lot. We can see who the facility ID tells us whether they're actually a secured site. That means we have a security agreement on file for them. And we also have the contacts. But we can do the GIS with them to see what kind of saturation or density of the population are targeted providers that we're going to use. And we can also look at the level of usage for that certain area to see if they're active users, if they're sending EHR, if they're not even interested, and they told us no 20 million times, and they probably have if they're not interested, and so on and so forth. Or if they're just H1N1 and then they gave us the boot after that, which people are probably familiar with that. The next tool is a retention tool for mapping. And this is kind of interesting because what we can do is we can grab a certain amount of days that the practice hasn't been interacted with inside that area. So when we go visit that area, we know who we need to knock on their door. So if we set this at 30 days, it shows us who we haven't followed up with or called or hadn't called us, and it'll highlight which practices we need to go see. And that's been a big benefactor to our retention efforts. And the next thing we're going to look at is the practice view level. Just like with a provider or a patient, we have a practice demographic, if you will. And we capture everything we could possibly capture about them, whether they're Medicaid, whether they're VFC, IRMS number, which is our vaccine tracking for VFC, and so on and so forth, contact information and all that. Now, the ImpactSys facility ID is the GUID, right? Just like with EHR, a lot of people are using their facility ID from their IIS. Well, we do the same thing to keep the two systems in sync together, the IIS or ImpactSys and the CMS. And this is where we capture all the data exchange information. Now, we can manually enter this information in here on a daily basis or as we're working with the provider, but there's other ways that it comes in here, too, from the provider end. And then we have a detailed activity log, and this is every time we've talked to them. All right. Now I'm going to give you a quick run-through of Sarah and her yearly interaction with my team, and or with me, actually, and how things have come into the system and what happened behind the scenes. All right. So the first thing I did was I called Sarah, and I asked her if she was interested, and she was nice enough to let me come and do a demonstration. So what I did was I created a work log for that, an activity, and during that activity, I captured different information. I said that I made a phone call. The purpose of the call was recruitment because we're a voluntary system, it was initial recruitment call. That's the more detail. And I set up a follow-up date So I know to confirm, because if you've ever been on the ground with an IIS team, you've sat in the waiting room, and then they say, oh, Sarah's not here today. and then I set that I'm doing initial demonstration for that date, the event date, and the event time. So essentially, what I've done is created in a calendar event for this. So why go back and create a calendar event on another calendar, right? Because what this system does, it grabs all the information about the practice and puts it in there for you, and it gives me the time and all that stuff, and then it also syncs with your Outlook or your Lotus Notes or whatever enterprise email client system that you have. Now, the other thing it does is once that happens, I set a follow-up, so it goes on my dashboard saying I have a follow-up for the site, and it gives me the date that I'm supposed to follow up with her. Now, when that date comes around, the system automatically emails me a reminder to contact them. On the day that I am ready to go see Sarah, I can bring up the calendar and go to the day view and generate my travel itinerary right through here. And that gives me where I'm going. It shows me a little map. And it also maps out where I'm going. I can print out all the directions and all that stuff. It only has one on here because I used fake data and I didn't think to put real addresses in. So. The neatest thing from the manager's standpoint is that they can look on one calendar and everybody's on there. They can see where their Impaxis rep is anytime. Okay. Now, you guys messed up my graphics. The online enrollment is the next thing we're going to look at, and that is Sarah took the self-initiative to say, hey, I like this system, and she goes to the Community Resource Center, and she goes ahead and enrolls her site. And the way that works, she goes there to the Community Resource Center, and she enters in through that tab there you go, and she enters in the provider's name or the facility name and all the address information. We grab the contact information and all the specifics about the identifying information about the site, and we grab the MPIs at that point too. If there's more MPIs, we will get them when we show up to help her out, or she can send them to us and we'll load them as a batch file. And then this is the first place from a user standpoint that we can capture their EHR information or their PMS or a billing service of sort like that. And that goes back into the area that I showed you into the system. Okay. And when she does her new registration, it is pulled into the system. Now, Sarah is an ambitious person and they're technologically savvy. So she went ahead and scanned her security agreement, and she put it in there too. So when I click on that, it houses the security agreements and the registration, so we don't have to go. For the longest time, we were, it's over here or it's over there. We weren't sure, or they said they sent it in, and we had a change in staff because budget changes and things like that, and we just didn't know where they were. Now they come in here, and they're tied to the practice level, and that is saved us so much time. And also, of course, the dashboard is updated, and the Impaxis representative then gets an email saying, call Sarah, all right? All right, now the next thing we're going to look at is that she is requesting training. Again, she goes to the Customer Resource Center, and she requests training. It's a very simple thing. She has to have a facility ID by this point, or we can't identify her, so she would have to have some communication back and forth. And once that happens, the same sort of thing happens. The training request goes on the correct Impaxis team members' dashboard, and then they get an email as well. Now, this is something that we've just rolled out in the last month or so. And what this is a practice snapshot. And this is because we've linked the IIS, or the Impaxis, with the CMS system, but it's totally tied off from each other because it's a web service call. So there's an authentication that has to happen, and it grabs it from an SFTP server. So it's a one-page summary, contact information, usage, everything about it. EHR information, immunization rates, vaccine management, VFC accountability, yada, yada, yada. All right, so in this, since we can do this, we can then build that up, all the way up to the state level. We're not going to go into that right now. It would probably have been a good place to go. So in June of 2010, we just did a huge transition, and anybody over here can attest that it was pretty hectic. So the question was, how do we transition 8,000 users in 30 days after they've already been locked out of the system for a week, right? So our solution was constant communication. We had to let them know what was going on, let them know what was happening. We had to let them know when training was happening and so on and so forth. And then we had an aggressive month-long group trainings that were, and I'll go into that in a second. And then we supplemented that by virtual training libraries and per-request on-site training where they could request through the Community Resource Center. So using CMS, we sent out email broadcast messages. We sent over 40,000 email messages, and that was just in one of the weeks. I didn't have room for everything else. The training schedules, maintenance schedules, bugs, release notes afterwards, workarounds, and SSO conversions. Now, if you are moving to a new system, I would recommend not going to single sign-on at the exact same time if you haven't done that. And that just highlights some of the things that we sent out. We had a lot of data transmission information coming out afterwards. And then this leads us into the Training Management Center. Everyone that was in one of those group settings had to be registered because we wanted to track who was trained and who wasn't trained. So we did webinar trainings, and we found out at the last minute there was a reservation. We had to use a reservation system, so that's in here, because we were limited to 60 phone lines into the infrastructure, which, yeah, exactly. So we used that, so we set a limit at 60, and we managed that, and we had constant trainings back-to-back. And somehow everybody got trained. Kent was out on medical leave. Similar to today. I was out on medical leave. We had two other staff members out for other various reasons. And Heidi and two other Impaxis team members trained all these people. And that's a pretty amazing feat. And a round of applause to them. So, and then we captured, I got to keep clicking through here. We'll never get through. So they could see their, I got what? Oh my God, we haven't even got to the good stuff yet. We're flying ahead now. All right, so we're moving on to meaningful use. And the challenge is to transition from traditional recruitment to catching the meaningful use wave. I think that was Matt. The meaningful use wave to boost Impaxis participation. Okay, so we looked at what we were doing, and it was taking us about 3 to 4 months per provider or per EHR vendor just going back and forth with this tedious process of this segment or this element's wrong. Email. Where's the last email? So we automated the process. But in CMS, we can see information by looking at the EHR, and this is where we keep contact information just like we do on the provider level. We can manage each contact for them. We can create activities, and we can add new versions for the same product or add new products and version. And version control is so important on this EHR exchange that everybody's working on. We can view this by provider, and then we can sort this based on who's using what and how far they've made it through it. And I'm just going to click through here pretty quickly now. And then we can, since our recruitment model is changing, we want to see if everybody's using a particular EHR and they're all that EHR just got certified. We can aim at a cluster and start really focusing our recruitment effort on them, and that's what this GIS allows us to do. And then we can sort that based on what we want to see. Okay. Now we're going into the Impaxis EHR, EMR, Immunization Data Exchange, the IDE, Certification and Integration Service. You guys have all seen all this same information before, but we group things by health care network or medical group, and it does validate based on 2.3.1 and 2.5.1, the latest guides out from CDC for implementation of guide for immunization and messaging. But what this does is when you send your file, you can send as many messages as you want in your file. It'll check the first 11, and it won't stop when it hits an error. It'll check them all and give you a true output of a true evaluation of the entire thing. All right? And so everyone has to register. The provider sites have to register, give us an email, tell where in the state they are, and tell us what EHR information. Now, if we already had it on file inside of CMS, it would auto-populate this information. And one of the things we definitely want to capture is how they want to exchange data with us by the exchange type, the mode, the frequency, and the connectivity. And that all goes to our network people when it comes time to get to that point. And then we capture that information. But the big thing is we want to get medical group, because it's a many-to-one relationship and we have a central data source or origin, then we inherit most of those practices behind them, unless there's some kind of nuance or anomaly that's happening with one of them. All right, now the other side of this is that the EHR is all up. So the IDE talks to CMS, it updates that information on the provider site when this information goes in. And likewise, the CMS updates IDE. Now the EMRs have to register as well. They have to create a profile, tell us who they are. If it's not there, then they have to go ahead and create themselves. And they would enter each contact. Now, if two contacts from the same EMR or EHR come together, they are automatically ported into the exact same profile. So that way you don't have John over in this side of the state and Jim on that side of the state, and then they're trying to recreate the wheel every time. They can look at that they're certified. And then they go ahead and they have a chance now to upload their file and run their validation. They come back and it is 2 minutes. I can make it 2 minutes. that it's not any good, okay? So they want to see the details. And we give them the details, but we also break it into the summary, which is – the site's a lot cleaner than my PowerPoint, by the way. This is helping us tremendously because now we're not going back and forth and wasting all that time. They don't even have to talk to us until they have a question. And they get the warnings and they get the errors all at the same time. And one of the things that the hospital systems are loving is that they can export this into an Excel and shoot it off out to their developers without having to copy and paste and all that jazz, and they're giving them the real information. So now they can run and validate it, and they can become certified. And then that information is captured back in CMS, and we see that they are now certified for that particular EHR version. Okay, and when they're one of their provider clients logs in, they'll see that they're certified as well. So the last thing, MPAXIS talks to CMS and it creates the oversight. Measures shift from web interface to EHR, evaluate immunization rates between interfaces, review data quality issues, and automated reporting. Now in Ohio, it really gives us a pulse of the MPAXIS user community. It gives us counts at the state level, and it gives us regional saturation. It gives us recruitment, where the information's coming from, whether it was an MPAXIS representative initiated, where it came from a referral, or if it came from one of our web services. And then we have Google Analytics to see who is hitting what page and how often and who's visiting us. And then we have a state summary that gives the immunization rates, the uptake, so on and so forth that you see there, and the data source, whether it's CIS, HL7, non-HL7, and this can be broken down to the region level where you can sort, and also to the county level, and then, of course, to the practice level and the EMR level. You did it. Did I make it? Ha! I got to tell my wife. So basically that's what we've done, and we've eliminated a lot of the tedious tasks with the reporting and all that stuff, and our small staff is now able to keep up with all this in Ohio. And I mean, we have to thank Ohio for allowing us to really, you know, work with them with doing this over the last 8 years. And this has all come from being on the ground with them and feeling